I want to talk to you tonight about the Holy Spirit a little bit, talking about that how many of you have maybe, how do I phrase this? How many of you have maybe not witnessed to somebody because for fear that you wouldn't know what to say? Yeah. Put your hands back up again. Okay, keep them up. Because I want you to receive this, and you can't receive stuff with your hands down here. It's the Holy Spirit. Exactly. See, she's... she's got her hand up. Bless your heart. It's the Holy Spirit that will give you the words to speak if you'll just open your mouth. Amen? And so when I was in school, if you had your hand up, it was because you wanted the teacher's attention or you had the answer. And now because you have had your hand up, you have the answer. Because it's the Holy Spirit that is inside of you that will give you what the Bible calls unction. Amen? Some of us need to learn how to function in the unction. We need to function under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And if we'll allow Him to, the Holy Spirit will teach us and help us to remember. Listen, I got news for you. When I'm in this pulpit up here preaching on Sunday or on Wednesday or whenever, and I start spouting off scriptures, I got news for you. It's not because I've memorized them. It's because I've read God's Word and I've put God's Word in my heart. And the Bible says that when He needs those out, He'll pull them out. He'll just draw them out. I can't remember every scripture that I've read, but I know this. Every time I've needed the Word, it's just came out of me. God will just do that. And so in John 14 and 26, it says, but the Helper. Say, but the Helper. How many of you need a Helper? The Helper. But the Helper, comma, the Holy Spirit. So He's identifying here the Helper. He said the Helper, comma, the Holy Spirit, comma. Here's another one. Whom the Father will send in My name, comma. These are short declarations. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, that the Father will send in My name. He will teach you all things, comma. He will teach you all things. Amen? I mean, you got to get this. He will teach you all things. Here's the last part. This is the part that I want to get you to. And bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. So, Ralph, when you're talking to somebody at the restaurant or at the apartment building or wherever, and you're like, man, I'd really like to witness, if you'll just start talking, if you'll just start sharing your testimony, if you'll just begin to explain to them, listen, I ain't always been saved, and God will begin to reveal to you.
I tell people, be blessed.
Yeah.
May the Lord bless your day. It opens up. You wouldn't believe how it opens up.
I do believe it because I say those very same things. Whether I'm checking out at the grocery store or buying diesel at the penny pincher down here. God bless you. I hope you have a great day. God bless you. Bless you. Whatever. And it opens up conversations. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, it's one of those verses where it's like He just keeps hitting you with the same thing, but He's just telling you in a different way. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in My name, He's going to teach you all things that you will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I mean, He just keeps laying, it's like one coat of paint on top of the next coat of paint. So it's the Holy Spirit would be sent both by the Father and by the Son. And in My name means that the Scripture, or that the Spirit comes rather in the name of Jesus and thereby brings His presence to His disciples. So are you His disciple? Yes, you are. What's a disciple? A disciple is a learner. That's why we've declared Wednesday night as discipleship night. Because you need to learn. There were people when we started this, I don't even remember what the date was that we started this, but there were so many people that said, the only way I'm going to miss that is if I'm dead or in the hospital or here, you know. And I hadn't got a call yet from some of them. Haven't done the funeral. But you're here. You know why? Because you're a learner. You want to be instructed. The Spirit will continue for Jesus, the ministry of teaching. A disciple, come here, Matt. A disciple is somebody, and I've shared this a million times. I'm going to keep sharing it as long as I'm preaching. But a disciple is somebody that I can impart into and bring this disciple to a place where he can take what I've taught him and go to somebody else and impart what I've taught him into them. And I can go over here and begin to impart it in somebody else. Now there, instead of two, there's four. And so when we raise them up to where they can go up, four becomes eight. That was the test. And eight becomes 16. And so it begins to grow exponentially.
Yes, sir.
How's that for a word?
I like it.
Exponentially, it's a big word, but it means big growth. Because everything begins to just grow and grow and grow when we begin to be the disciples. He sent 12 people out and they said, listen, the whole world has been affected by them. And so we got to ask ourselves, am I a learner? Am I being taught by the Word and by the Holy Spirit? The Spirit also reminds His disciples of what Jesus has taught. And the apostles remembered and wrote with the help of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. In fact, the entire New Testament would not exist without the reminding work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that helped them. So how important is the Word of God to you? You're the only one who can answer that question. How important is the Word of God to you? Is it important enough to read it every day? Is it important enough to more than read it every day, but to study it every day? Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light to my path. It's salvation. It's food. It's all those kinds of things. So the Gospel of John and the word was brought about by the help and the reminding of the Holy Spirit. So how important is it to you? And could it change your life? I pray that it not only changes our life, but is what, I mean, it's like fertilizer to your lawn, man. When God's Word gets in you, it begins to, that's why we preached several weeks ago about digging and dunging. Because dung, cow dung, is one of the very best fertilizers that you can get. So when you cultivate the soil, which is what worship does, and then you apply some fertilizer to it, the Word begins to grow. It can change your life. It absolutely can. God's Word is vital to me. It has transformed my life. It's God's Word that has given me hope and life. Amen? Anybody else in here feel that way? So the Bible, I want to begin to talk about the existence of God. I want to talk about the existence of God, and I think I shared this before, but the Bible doesn't seek to prove the existence of God. Did you hear me? The Bible does not seek to prove the existence of God. The fact that there is a God is taught throughout all of Scripture. And the fact that the first verse in the Bible in Genesis is a good example. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God did that. How much faith does it take to believe in the Big Bang Theory? It takes so much more faith to believe that all of this developed because of a Big Bang somewhere. So, sometimes us truck drivers have too much time to think. And I've thought just driving down the road because I'll catch myself blinking. You ever thought about that blinker fluid in your eyeballs? You ever think about that stuff? I think about that stuff. It's slick. It never wears out. It's always there. It didn't just happen. Think about it. Where's all the monkeys with tails only this long instead of... You see where I'm going with this? I did not evolve from a monkey. Where's all the guys that have a tail still tucked down their pant leg or whatever? Moving right along. Listen, it didn't just happen. We did not evolve. God's word is replete with evidence that we were created in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. I'm not no accident. The devil all my life has tried to convince me that I'm an accident. But I'm not an accident. I was fearfully, Matt, and wonderfully made, God said in His Word. There's a lot of stuff gone on in my life, but at the end of the day, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep me against that day. See, God's existence is stated as a statement of fact that does not need proof. If you want proof, just go out there and look at that Tom Turkey right out there that's all fanned out. Look at the beauty. Look at the way that dude is colored and constructed and put together and all that stuff. I mean, just go look at just that turkey. Look up on the hillside at the trees and the timber and the brush. Look at all the rocks. Man, I don't understand. A man... Well, speaking of that, the man who says there is no God is a fool. Psalms 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Even apart from the Bible, there are certain evidences for the existence of God. Number one, mankind has always believed in a universal being. You go to any tribe anywhere on the face of this earth, and they're all looking for some kind of a deity. They're all worshiping someone or something. You know why? Because there's something God put in every one of us that speaks to a superior source that we have had to have come from. A creator.
The Lord God of Israel.
The Lord God.
And we see it now. They're fighting against that. And they are fighting against their creator. And it's not
going to go well. No, it's not. But mankind has always believed in a universal being. Look at the tribes of the jungles around the world, and I just said that. We know that they all believe in a higher power, and we know that creation must have a creator. I mean, creator is in the word creation, isn't it? Hello? Yeah, that have been created.
That's right.
We didn't just happen.
That's why we're creatures.
That's right. We are creatures. Some of us creech more than others, but The universe could not originate. Listen, the universe could not originate without a first cause. The wonderful design which we see in creation demands an infinite designer. Since man is an intelligent being, his creator must have been of much higher order to create him. What scripture do I have for that? Anybody want to take a stab at it? My ways are not your ways, and on and on and on. That's exactly where I was going. We can't comprehend the things of God because His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. What about the nature of God? The nature of God says that God is spirit. He's invisible. In John chapter 1 and verse 18 says that no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. And so this statement seems to contradict, if we would allow it, passages like Exodus 24 verses 9 through 11 that says that the elders of Israel saw God. So then what is it that John means? And so I think likely that he is affirming the fact that no human being has seen the essential being of God. No man has seen God as God. It means that he means generally that since God dwells in inaccessible light, He cannot be known except in Christ, His lively image. Some men experienced theophanies, which are special appearances of God in various forms, but nobody has ever seen the essential being of God. Right. To be our redemption, to be our sacrifice.
I don't know that I've ever contemplated that particular scripture.
Yeah. At the beginning of the week, they're hailing Him as Messiah. The end of the week, they're yelling, "Crucify Him." Yeah. It's hard to understand. It's hard to comprehend. His thoughts and His ways are not ours. So at the end of the day, what it really means is that we've never... the guys in the Old Testament, they saw these appearances in various forms, but the essential being of God, no one has ever seen. Only the Son, who is Himself God, can communicate His glory to us. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says that God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the word Spirit comes first for emphasis. Spirit, it says, Spirit is what God is. In the original Greek, Spirit is what God is. And here's a definition of the nature of God. He is Spirit. God is not a physical being limited to time or space like you and I are. He's omnipresent. He's present everywhere. He can be worshipped anywhere and any time. Anywhere and any time. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you can know one thing for sure. God is with you. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." If you take off this way and turn around, there's God. You take off that way and turn around, there's God. You take off that way, bam, there's God. Because He's always there. He's always there. He can be worshipped anywhere. Look at it this way. As Spirit, God relates to us without the limitations that we possess. Yes.
Right.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Because we can't live up to the law. We can't. The law points out our fault, but the law doesn't ever help us with it. That's why Jesus came and established the new covenant. And he fulfilled everything in it. So God, as a spirit, God relates to us without the limitations that you and I possess. How about this? How many of you are tired right now? How many of you are tired? God is never tired. He's never tired. Well, I'd pray and I'd talk to God, but he's probably busy. He is probably busy, but he's not too busy to handle what you've got going on. Anybody watch that movie? Bruce Almighty. I've seen the TV version of it, okay? Bruce Almighty. He's trying to be God. And he starts getting all these emails, and this file drawer, this file drawer opens up, and it just never ends. And all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit opens his ears to everything that's going on, all the prayers, all the requests, and it's just blowing his mind because he can't handle it. But God just handles it. Why? Because he's God. Because he is God. He's never tired. He's never distant. He's always right here. He's always inside of us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's in here all the time. Yeah.
It just goes on and on and on and on, the universe. And it's all his creation. And they show these constellations that are star generators. You know, like every 3 minutes they generate another star. It's unfathomable.
No, you can't fathom it.
No.
He just said,
pfft. Yeah, and this is God.
Let there be light. Boom. That was great, wasn't it?
And his sovereignty over all things to us.
And not one bit of it is out of control.
No.
Well, he's thinking, oh, this will really blow their minds when
they Yeah.
And then they develop another telescope. Yeah, there you go.
So he's never tired. He's never distant. He's never distracted. Never. He's never. Have you ever been talking to somebody and all of a sudden something happens over here and they're like this and you're like, hey, I'm not done talking to you right now. And you're like, settle down. He's never tired. He's never distant. He's never distracted, squirrel. You're married to that? Wow, it is. Wow, that went awry. He is not ever tired. He's not ever distant. He's not ever distracted. He is not ever limited by time and space. He can be present in every person on the planet at the same time. What in the world? Here's one I particularly am fond of. Cannot can be taken apart into two words, can and not. He cannot be destroyed or overpowered. You know why? Pardon me? Oh. What's that? Oh. Oh. Pardon me? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got all night. What? Steve. He's that too. Come on. Keep talking. Yeah, yeah, that too. He cannot be destroyed or overpowered. Why? Because He is almighty. He is almighty. He is, there's no one greater than God. No one. He is almighty God. In Christ, God experienced all our weaknesses firsthand. He knows every one of them, but they do not control Him. One day, someday, we are going to leave our present limitations behind. Come on, somebody needs to get happy. We're going to leave our present limitations behind and be fully in God's spiritual presence. I mean, that day is coming. Worship includes saying to God, thank you for understanding where I am. I can hardly wait to be where you are.
They talk about hydrogen and the nucleus and the electron around hydrogen. A universal gas. The nucleus is not strong enough to keep the electron in orbit. It's held together by Christ. They can't understand what holds it together. It should blow up.
Yeah.
Just hydrogen.
Yeah.
He holds all things together. Every atom.
Right.
Is in his control.
Well, you know what? They also said that you know what a bumblebee is? Science says that a bumblebee can't fly. Yeah. Anybody ever seen a bumblebee flying around? I'm just saying, God's bigger than even our scientists. Shocking. Shocking. Anybody who wants to worship God must worship in spirit. God is spirit. We must worship Him in spirit. There's no other way for us to really, truly worship God. So let me just throw this out there because we don't have any worship. Well, we got my wife snuck back in, so but just plug your ears or whatever. When you're inhibited in your worship, some of you are not going to like this. I can't help it. If you're inhibited to worship freely God, if you're inhibited, you are not worshiping in the Spirit. Because if you are in the Spirit, moved by the Spirit, motivated by the Spirit, worshiping in the Spirit, you don't care what anybody thinks. You just care about worshiping God. But that's not contradicting me. That's a testimony, probably, of your life.
You don't even want to be there. You don't even want to do there. You're crying.
And
whatever.
What does the Bible call that? It calls it a sacrifice of praise.
Yes, there we go.
We sing about it. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. But when we get in the Spirit and worship in the Spirit, we're free. In His presence is the fullness. We are free in His presence. There is no other way to truly worship God. And of course, a person can't do this if his or her spirit has not been reborn by God's Spirit. So worship is to spiritual rebirth what growing up is to physical birth. Think about that. Worship is to spiritual rebirth what growing up is to spiritual birth or to physical birth. When you grow up in the physical, you do more things. You're less inhibited. Brand new babies, that little baby you got running around over here, she doesn't know that you don't just holler out in church. I mean, she doesn't know that yet. Maybe we need to learn something from her. Hello. So, God is a spirit, right? God is also a person. Personal names are used in reference to Him. Exodus 3 and 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Do you want to hand out those? Because we need to hand out the deals here. Because I just went so fast. Here, we got deals. We got deals. I went flying through 2 weeks worth of notes right there. Michelle's like, yeah, y'all try keeping up with him. And it just dawned on me that I'm into what my wife made the notes for tonight. So I'll let you get those passed out, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for all your help. Don't lose them, because the chances of us getting completely through it in the next 12 minutes are limited. Right. You know why?
Why what?
Do you know why what you just said is true?
Why am I so stupid?
You're not. You're not. You're being discipled, number one. And number two, we're still in New Testament times.
Amen.
The New Testament time that was established in the book of Acts is still going on today. There's nowhere in the Word where it says, all right, the healings have stopped. The gifts of the Spirit have stopped. The ministry of the Holy Ghost is stopped. And you guys are just on your own. We are the New Testament church. Understand that you are part of the New Testament church. That's exactly why I believe and I pray for people. Because God's still in the healing business. We saw that last Wednesday night. So God is a person. How many of you agree with that? God is a person. And this is what He said. God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Think about that word, I am. Who are you? I am. You am what? I am. What does that mean? It means I am. You think about I am. And whatever follows after that, I am. Everything, because He's omniscient, He's omnipresent, He's all those things which we're going to get into. Because, see, listen, the Egyptians had many gods by many different names, and Moses wanted to know God's name so that the Hebrew people would know exactly who had sent him to them. And God called himself I Am. I Am is a name that is describing, it's descriptive of his eternal power and his unchangeable character. God's character does not change. So in a world where values and morals and laws change constantly, you and I, as God's children, as brothers to one another and sisters to one another, where the values and the morals and the laws change constantly, we can find stability and security in a God that never changes. He never changes. You've got to understand. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said so in His Word. He's an unchanging God. The God who appeared to Moses in the burning bush is the same God who lives in us today. Hebrews 13 and 8 says that God is the same. And here's your first questions. It's actually the second one, I believe. But He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Tomorrow, He's going to be the same God that He was yesterday. And so because God's nature is stable and trustworthy, we are free to follow and enjoy Him rather than spend our time trying to figure Him out. I remember the very first person that I ever led to the Lord. And it was a young lady in our youth group when we were helping with the youth in Myrtle Creek at the Assemblies of God. And this little gal, she kept saying to me, she said, well, I want to check out, you know, Hinduism, and I want to check out Buddhism, and I want to check out this, and I want to check out that, and I want to check out all this other stuff. And I'm here because I want to check out God. And I said, well, let me just tell you something. Let me just proposition you with something. I said, why don't you just accept Jesus right now, truly accept Jesus into your heart? Ask Him to come in, forgive you of your sins, redeem you, write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and in 3 months, come back and see if you still want to check out all the rest of that stuff. And that young lady went on to Bible college. She became a youth leader and all this kind of stuff. Why? Because she didn't have to spend the time trying to figure out whether God was who He was or who He said He was. She experienced Him. Exodus 6 and 3 says, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. So God reminded Moses of His covenant name, which is Jehovah. Jehovah. One way to get to know God better is to, and here's another one of your answers, is to pay attention to His names. How many of you know He's Jehovah Nissi? How many of you know He's Jehovah Jireh? How many of you know He's Jehovah Rophe? How many of you know He's Jehovah Shalom? How many of you know He's Jehovah Emkadesh?
I know Him as Jehovah Jireh.
He's your provider.
He's my provider.
Amen. But He's more, listen, He's more than that. He's our banner. And I can go into all of those things, but we're not going to tonight. But you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention to the names of God. The patriarchs knew God as God Almighty, which in Hebrew is El Shaddai. And he's the all-sufficient. He's the all-powerful God. And they knew that God's name was Jehovah. It was Yahweh. But they did not fully understand the full implications of what His name carries. And church, the world, well, much of the church today doesn't even understand it. Well, Jehovah Jireh will, because he's our provider. He's provided salvation to us. He provided himself a lamb for the sacrifice.
There's no religion. You have to earn your way.
Right.
In every other religion, you have to be good enough to be higher up.
Right.
But only Christianity is there a Savior that says to you, you are mine, you are my child, and I love you in spite of who you are.
Right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. The Bible says, while we were yet his enemy,
he
died for us. Amen. So God explained the name Jehovah to Moses when he called him in Midian. But now he associates his name with the covenant he would make with his people. Jehovah is the special name that links God, the name of God that links God with Israel and with his covenants. And it is so sacred to the Jews even today that they will not speak it when they read scriptures in the synagogue. Instead, they substitute and use words like Adonai or Master, which is Master, or they simply say the name. They know a thing about reverence that we have no idea about.
Yahweh.
It's Jehovah. Jehovah Yahweh.
Yahweh is they use that.
Yeah. Yeah. It is Jehovah. Yahweh is Jehovah. So some of the attributes of God that we want to begin to look at, let's just stop right there at number three. Talking about the attributes or the characteristics of God. One of them is, and the first one that we will talk about next week when we come back, is the reality that God is omnipresent. And it means that he's present everywhere. In Jeremiah 23, verse 23 and 24, it says, I am a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Listen, he's everywhere, all the time, all at once. Amen? And we're gonna get into this next week and tear into this stuff and see what some of his attributes are. Amen. Is this good? Amen. Amen. Well, my job, my plan, my purpose is to make disciples of each one of you so that you can disciple others. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your goodness. I pray, Lord, that you would bring to our remembrance, like we've talked about it, that your Spirit would bring to our remembrance these things that we've heard tonight, that we've learned, God. And I pray that you would help us to not be ashamed, to not be bashful, to not be afraid to share the greatness of God. Lord, to share our testimony with somebody and to bring somebody to church that they might hear the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is truly the power of God unto salvation. And I thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Have a great week. See